WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Police in Washington, D.C. say they're investigating a woman's claim she was assaulted by Florida GOP Congressman Corey Mills.
D.C. police say the alleged assault occurred sometime Wednesday morning inside a penthouse at one of Washington's premier apartment buildings overlooking the Potomac. Corey Mills' office released a statement saying law enforcement was asked to resolve a private matter at the congressman's residence. The Florida Republican, quote, vehemently denies any wrongdoing whatsoever and is confident he'll be quickly cleared.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. The Trump administration moving ahead with more cuts to the federal workforce. The latest layoffs at the IRS, where 6,000 jobs are being slashed. A judge in New York did not set a trial date for accused killer Luigi Mangione, charged in the shooting death of United Healthcare CEO in December. Mangione pleaded not guilty to state murder charges that include an enhancement for terrorism. He is also facing federal charges. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. New data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services found gun-related deaths in Wisconsin are on the decline for the first time since before the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the data, gun deaths overall are still at higher levels than before the pandemic, but saw slight drops from 2022 to 23. Gun-related suicides in the state dropped from 532 to 508, and gun-related homicides dropped from 290 to 238. Violence prevention officials say the drop is very encouraging. This Saturday marks the 25th and final Lee Lake Polar Bear Plunge. Civic Media's Austin Brume reports.
WRCO's morning show host Phil Nee sat down with Chrissy Letica to discuss one of the planned events and who the plunge supports.
This year we're having a costume contest, so we're going to do cash prizes for best single, best couple, and best group. We've had anything from bikinis to, you know, Santa Claus jumping over the years. So anything in between, the only requirement is that you wear something.
In the past, funds raised by the plunge have gone to Grace and the American Cancer Society. That will continue this year.
90% of the funds go to Grace. I think our total to them is over $350,000. And then about 10% of the funds go to the American Cancer Society. I think we've donated around $127,000 to them over the years.
Alongside the costume contest, the plunge will also feature a live auction beginning at 11:30 at the Casanova Community Center, which will include a quilt.
We always get that beautiful quilt made by Wendy McCauley, and she's donating another one this year. And that's always an item that people really look for. And that will be auctioned off at 1 o'clock. So if that's an item you're looking for, be there and ready to go by 1.
There will also be raffles, a bake sale, food, and refreshments. The plunge itself is set to begin at 2 p.m. For more information, you can call Chrissy at 608-393-2435.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks beat the Clippers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks rallied in the fourth quarter, went on to beat the LA Clippers 116 to 110. After the game, players like Damian Lillard reacting to the news that Bobby Portis has been suspended 25 games for violating the league's anti-drug policy.
Obviously, it's a hit to our team. We're all professionals, and we know that we got to hold it down for him, make sure that we stay on track for when he does come back. You know, I think it'll make us a better team because we'll have to find a way without him.
The Bucks face the Wizards in Washington tonight. College basketball, number 16th ranked Marquette on the road against Villanova. Head coach Shaka Smart on how guard Stevie Mitchell has improved in his time with the Golden Eagles.
He was defending, he was flying around, he was bringing an incredible spirit and energy. That was his freshman year when he really didn't know what he was doing yet. Now he's a senior, he's more seasoned, he's way more confident, more secure, and we're absolutely going to need him to be at his best down the stretch.
That's Marquette coach Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and comfortable today with high temperatures reaching the mid-20s and tonight sliding to the single digits. Winds become a bit breezy tonight and throughout tomorrow, but they'll warm us up to highs near the freezing mark. Sunday and into early next week, 40s will be the high temperature. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will break down all of the most recent news and how it affects all of us here in Wisconsin. Plus, this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Happy Friday, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big, big thanks to Congresswoman Gwen Moore. I love it. She's one of those plain-talking politicians that I wish we had caboodles more of. We didn't get to it while she was on the show, and she was so gracious to give us two segments. Usually, you know, just a little inside baseball, everyone. Usually elected officials, the staff only want you to book them for a single segment. So she was very cool to get her for two whole segments. So again, thank you, Congresswoman. We didn't get to one of, she does a ton of like spoken word poetry. If you do not follow her on X and all the rest of the socials and Blue Sky, you want to do that because she'll drop these every once in a while and they're freaking hilarious. I pulled one of my favorites because I had been saying Rojo got to go for a long time, and then I got to hear this, Kelvin Letter Rip.
Fake electric supplier, climate change denier, insurrectionist defender, rule of law pretender, social security destroyer, abortion ban deployer, healthcare repealer, voting rights stealer, blames Black Lives Matter for crime, shameless Mad Hatter, denies science, mouthwash for COVID prescribes, robs from the poor to give to the rich. If you voted for him before, you need to switch. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Ronald Johnson gotta retire. Rojo gotta go.
Oh, Congresswoman Grenmore with a little spoken word. Yeah, Rojo got to go. The man lies more than he tells the truth. And with that, I am super excited to bring my senior producer, Jamie, onto the show with me. Good afternoon, Jamie. How's your Friday going?
Oh, well, it's fantastic. And, you know, for a winter day, I have to just say, like, did it feel balmy when you walked outside today?
It was so nice.
I know. There was no wind. I was walking the dog. I was like, wow, we could stay out here a little bit longer. I wasn't, you know, completely. Normally when I walk the dog, all you can see is my eyes, right? Because it's like head to toe. And I was like, oh, I could actually, I was taking hoods off, and it was beautiful for a February in Wisconsin on a Friday afternoon. We take what we can get, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, my little Finny was, she got outside. She was so excited. She's like, Mom, let's go. Let's just go for it. She was ready to go for a walk. Usually she does her business and literally turns tail and is like, get me back inside. This weather is ridiculous. But today we had a walk. Today was a good day for that.
Before we jump into questions here, I just have to say there's a whole lot of love happening over on our text line for Congresswoman Moore. People are talking about how much they love her over there. So thank you for the comments, Terry. And also, well, it's an anonymous texter. We'll get your name later and fill in the gaps. We also have somebody from Windsor who chimed in. You know, you played the Elon Musk chainsaw clip, which... Oh, that was bizarre. But anyway, this person says, I'm pretty sure Elmo has never actually used a chainsaw in his life. That probably seems accurate.
Yeah, Elon's the kind of guy that would cut his damn fool hand off if he actually tried to use a chainsaw.
Yeah.
That man and, you know, heavy equipment operation, dangerous equipment operation.
Right.
These do not go, pardon the prolonged pun, hand in hand. They do
not go I'm with you. All right. So thank you for all of the love to Congressman Moore. It's also happening over on the live stream. Some of it. We've got a couple people who are a little anti anything good in the world, but that's OK. We get those every now and then as well.
That's right.
We've got to talk about Ask Maggie now, though, because we've got some good questions. I've been curating the list. By the way, if you want to chime in and you have a question for Miss Maggie Dawn, Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us. Are you ready, hydrated, ready to go?
I mean, caffeinated is more the thing.
Okay.
And let me take a sip of my fifth food group here.
All right. So are you ready to jump in? Because I have some good questions here today.
Yes, I am. Now, remember, you got to tell Cal which timer he's putting me on.
Absolutely. All right, Cal. So we're going to start with an easy one. And you actually answered part of this already in text. But I want to finish it out because this person really wants to know the answer. So it's our good friend L.A. Tom who likes to text
Tom.
In. Yes. And Cal will have 30 seconds for this one because L.A. Tom asks, is Maggie on Blue Sky and what is her handle on Blue Sky? So, Cal, start the bed. And, Maggie, you have 30 seconds to answer.
We definitely get on in 30 seconds. Yes, I recently is the same as X Insta Facebook. What am I missing? X Insta Facebook.
So many social medias.
It's always at Maggie Dawn. At Maggie Dawn Show. So all of the places at Maggie Dawn Show if you want to watch us. On X, Insta, or Book of Faces at Maggie Dawn Show or Civic Media's YouTube site. I don't post as much as I probably should on Blue Sky because I'm just getting warmed up on it.
Sure.
And like the duplicative posting on like six different social media things. Oy, exhausting. But I will share with all of you this. I am almost every day on LinkedIn, especially. It's one of the socials, Jamie, that I feel a little bit more comfortable on because you can more effectively block and limit who's commenting. So as I've started to do this work more, I don't want to read a bunch of like violent hate speech in my threads.
Right.
So you can always find me on LinkedIn. There I just use my full old fashioned name, the one that my mother calls me when I'm in deep doo-doo. That is where you can find me as Margaret Dawn. Yes, when my mom calls me and she's like, listen, Margaret, it's not going well. I have fouled up somewhere.
Yeah, see, I have a short name, but my mom would bring in out the middle name. So it was Jamie Jane. And I was, and even yet, to this day, 47 years old, almost, by the way, not as afraid to say my age. I'm like, oh, I'm in so much trouble right now. So no, I get it.
Three named, Margaret Claire, Dawn. Margaret Claire, that's run for the hills time.
I get it. All right, we have another really great question. And this one actually came in over on our stream. If you're watching online today, well, whether that's on YouTube or all of the, I'm not even going to name them. You know, you can find us.
All the places.
It'll take too much time to name them. This is a really good one. Tim wanted to know, and this was a question he kind of brought up while Congressman Moore was with you. What's your thoughts on Trump taking over the United States Postal Service, and what does it mean for Oshkosh's next generation delivery vehicle contract? Cal, we're going to do 60 seconds on this one, and whenever you're both ready to go.
Well, this is a really important question. I think in general, you're going to see a decrease in postal service reliability, especially in rural places. I just don't see how this goes well. You want to politicize the freaking post office? The post office. It's a stupid idea. Point two, by the way, I think the guy that Trump appointed to lead the post office is still leading the post office, so apparently that ain't good enough. Point two about the contract, I'd be shocked if that contract actually moves forward. I mean, that's Elon's business, especially for anything, quote, state of the art. Maybe that contract will magically end up going to one of Elon's many companies. But I think those are the sorts of things to be on the lookout for, especially. Great question.
That is a really good question. And it's going to be an important look. You still had bed left. You could have kept going. Mm. Right? Like you got it in within 60 seconds. Now, I will say this, doing a quick little Google search, Louis DeJoy, the Postmaster General
that you were referring to,
has actually decided to step down after 5 years.
Big shock there.
Right? I mean, you know, because now the post office is eventually going to be under Trump's control. So it would make sense that Louis DeJoy feels like his job is completely done and he's no longer needed.
Largely irrelevant, yes.
Could have done that years ago. It's fine. It's okay.
And I just want to make this additional comment about this. I have heard, and like part of the justification for hiring Louis DeJoy for Trump, and it was like a very late, it was late in Donald Trump's first term as president that he was appointed. The idea was that, well, we need to turn the post office into some big profit making. It's like, no, it's not a private corporation. It serves a public function. Like, we don't ask bridges and tunnels to turn a profit. We don't ask for our roads and bridges to, right? Like, that's not what it is. It would be like saying, well, our public schools aren't making any money, so we've got to, no, the U.S. Postal Service is supposed to provide effectively a baseline so that every American can reliably transact via the mails, both commerce and personal correspondence. Like, that is the actual purpose.
Think about even the medicines at this day and age.
Correct.
That get
How many of us do the mail?
Yes. Right? I mean, and now we're looking at potentially having delays in that. I mean, because let's be honest, anything that Trump has put his name on in his entire career hasn't exactly gone well, right? So I don't know how this is going to go. But again, it's kind of like everything else. Are we just in wait and see mode? Because that's essentially all we can do at this point is wait and see. You know, and you bring up the vehicles. It's a good point. I mean, are we going to have, you know, Tesla-style vehicles? I mean, we have potential battlefield vehicles now coming from Musk. Didn't he just sign a contract for that?
Yes.
Are there going to be charging stations? Do we have to tell our opposition to stop?
Please install charging stations.
Just stop. Hold on. We need 3 hours to charge our vehicle before we head out. It's
Matt from Middleton is making this point on the text line. He's saying, he works for the United States Post Service, and there needs to be operational improvements. No doubt. And Matt, every place that I've ever worked in government, I always find methods for improvement and perhaps modernization and all those things. Yep, all of that makes sense. What doesn't make sense is approaching, in my opinion, USPS as if it should be a profit-making enterprise. What doesn't make sense to me is to say because it's not where it should be, that means it should become politicized. So I'll take your point, Matt. I agree with you, and I think there's a lot of government programs, systems, and departments that need all that. But let's not make any mistake. DOGE, it's not about efficiency. It's about gutting the federal workforce, getting rid of apolitical experts under the guise of efficiency. We can hold both ideas at the same time, that we need process improvements and greater efficiency and for the USPS to actually work best for all of us. And also think it shouldn't just be a political hack job show that works to Musk's profit motive benefit, right? Like, probably. Folks, it is Ask Maggie. If you've got questions for me, you can send them in at askmaggie@civicmedia.us or via the talk and text line 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're back with my senior producer, Jamie Martinson. In just a moment, we got more questions, and I'll try to keep them within the allotted time frame for my answers. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Mississippi has one of the country's worst records for protecting voting rights and advancing democracy reforms. So when pro-voter bills emerge from the state House and Senate, like in-person early voting and the ability to cure a mismatched absentee signature, democracy advocates take notice. Mississippi is one of only three states without some form of in-person early voting, along with Alabama and New Hampshire. The Mississippi Free Press reports that February 12th, the Mississippi Senate passed SB 2654, allowing 15 days of early voting, ending the Saturday before the election at noon. The Republican-sponsored bill passed 39-12, but even if the House advances, it may still be vetoed by Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, who accused the bill's sponsor of making the state's elections less secure. The Mississippi House also took some positive steps. HB 1419 prohibits moving or closing a polling place location within 60 days of an election, sometimes used as a voter suppression tactic. HB 163 sets rules for absentee ballots where the signature on file doesn't match the signed outer ballot envelope and would give the voter a chance to cure the problem. And HB 288 would make each county's five election commissioners nonpartisan positions. All three bills now move to the Senate. We have more on these bills and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As we do every Friday in the 3 o'clock half hour, it is time for Ask Maggie, where you can ask me almost anything except for you, Peter. I know you're out there. There's a mean troller out there. He's sending me a slew of very offensive messages. Peter, that's how you get yourself blocked. But thanks for all the slurs and no substance at all whatsoever. One rule I live by, Jamie, is that when someone does not actually take up arms with you on the substance of the matter and just slings a bunch of personal attacks at you, it means they're either very, very, very dumb or they just don't think they can win the argument on the merits of the thing. So, Peter, right. Enough of that. That is not productive. But, Jamie, one of our texters had a follow-up question for Ask Maggie in this segment.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is a really good one because we were talking a little bit about, Trump taking control of the post office. And this texter from the 608 listening on WMDX asked this: will Trump cut mail delivery to impact Wisconsin elections? And a lot of you are asking a lot of questions about these postal service and making comments. So we'll kind of parse through that. But this texter wants to know, will this make mail-in ballots late, and therefore will they be counted? So 60 seconds to answer this one, Cal. Whenever you are ready to hit the bed, and Maggie can answer this question, and go.
Texter, great question. Do you remember when DeJoy was appointed? That's what everybody was concerned about, right? I think given all that we have seen from Donald Trump, that absolutely needs to be a concern. The irony, of course, is that the areas or regions most likely to be most negatively impacted are not urban areas that tend to lean Democratic, but rural areas. So when you combine the prolonged bogus attacks on mail-in ballots, which then sometimes conservatives endorse, what you know Donald Trump will do to manipulate the USPS to his electoral advantage, and conservative attacks on early voting, all of which are a bigger problem in rural counties because it's harder to vote there. Yeah, maybe they end up hurting their own voter base, but not good for democracy overall.
Oh, nice. Ooh, just at the buzzer. I love it. No, and I think, too, this isn't going to be an important discussion that we're probably going to have multiple times, not just on your show, but across the Civic Media Network with how this is going to impact people in more of the rural areas. So it's It's.
I also want to. Yeah, is going to have to come up again and again. Like, how is that actually going to work? Who's going to run it? What does it look like? Is it overtly politicized? Or they try to pull a fast one? Bill from Green Bay says, as an employee of the USPS, the atmosphere is very dark. People are extremely concerned. I'm going to call it now. Amazon will, quote, absorb or be spliced with the service. Bezos sat in the front row of the inauguration, needs a return on his investment. The thought I immediately had, Bill, to your point, was where's the grift, right? Like, who's going to turn this into some sort of way for them to make money? Maybe it's Amazon and they're trying to effectively, you know, control delivery in a better way so that they can control costs as they continue to gobble up so many corners of the retail market. Right now, Bezos uses USPS for a ton of deliveries, right? People, USPS, guess what? They're back on the roads on Sundays. Guess what they're delivering? A lot of Amazon packages. So that was my immediate thought as well, Bill. And I immediately thought, how does what's the Bezos angle? Because clearly, other than, you know, some of the abroad, cheap, fast fashion, Temu, Shein, that kind of stuff, like Amazon is the one using, to, you know, huge degrees, a lot of our shipping capacity right now. And that's in large part USPS. So I think it's a fair question, Bill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have something lighthearted, Jamie?
You know, I do. And this is actually, I'm going to submit my own Ask Maggie question. I'm going to put you on the spot right now because I know that you are celebrating a birthday on Sunday.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you, though. Are you a birthday person? Do you get excited about birthdays or are you just like, just another year?
So because my birthday is in the dead of winter, and it kind of comes, I have been not a huge fan of Valentine's Day, even when I've been in relationships. And so you end up with this like lame invented holiday of Valentine's Day, and then my birthday comes up. So I generally each year use it as an excuse to go do something fun.
Yes.
With my friends in the dead of winter when it's usually really depressing and very cold outside. Yeah. Sometimes we try to go to someplace warm. This year we went up to Door County and did that and did some hanging out and some eating and drinking. So it's less like, ooh, me, and more like, oh, there's a lame excuse on the calendar to go hang out and have a like super fun hangout time.
See, and I celebrate in October, so I celebrate birth month, and here's my reason why. I live in a house of boys, right? I have a 21-year-old son. I have an 18-year-old son who just celebrated his 18th birthday this week. Really, I celebrate birth month because it's my hope that one day out of that month, somebody will put a cup in the dishwasher. Maybe somebody will start the dishwasher on their own. Maybe somebody will walk the dog for me, or maybe, just maybe, somebody will pick up the Swiffer and be like, maybe I should do
Bunnies. Yes.
Just once. That's all I want.
Jamie, you need like a birthday wish list. Be like, for this month, this is my wish list, everyone.
I know. It's simple. It's the simple things in life. That's all it really is. So anyway, that was my question for you today on Ask Maggie was how are you celebrating your birthday on Sunday? I know Brewer spring training is underway.
Would you
like 30 seconds for this to answer? Okay. All right, Cal. So start the bed. 30 seconds. How is Maggie Dawn celebrating her birthday this year?
Well, on Saturday evening, I am going to be in the Madison area having a very nice dinner with some dear friends, probably a couple of adult beverages, little party. That will be after I watch a Brewers spring training game, likely with a bunch of my baseball-obsessed fans in Milwaukee. So watch the Brewers game, then hightail it to Madison. On Sunday, it will be a boozy brunch. That's my plan on Sunday. Boozy brunch back in Milltown.
I like the plan, though. There's a whole lot of adult beverages in there. That is a good birthday.
Listen, when it's cold as hell outside in Wisconsin, you know, it's like watch sports, have some adult beverages, maybe eat some yummy food. We got to take care of some business. We'll be right back with Terry Barr with what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Keep it locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin snowmobile owners, trail operators, and local businesses are thrilled with the snow and the promising season ahead. Sam Landis, director of the Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs, shared insights on how, despite the number of sleds out on the trails increasing, the number of fatalities has decreased.
You'd be surprised because, you know, today compared to 1991, I think I went to a media where we had 149,000 registered snowmobiles, okay? Today, there's roughly between 220 and 240,000 registered sleds. Now, if you take a look at the data from 2002 up, our fatalities have been cut in half because the machines are nicer, they're more comfortable. Yes, they're faster, but the thing is, people have more of an investment in them.
That's Sam Landis, director of the Association of Wisconsin Snowmobile Clubs. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The end of harvest, snow-covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 491 and a quarter, down 6 3/4. New crop corn closed at 475, down 4.5 cents. Cash beans closed at 1039.5, that was down 6 cents. And new crop beans closed at 1059 3/4, down 1.5 cents. Cash wheat closed at 590, that was up 4.5 cents, and new crop wheat closed at 617 1/4, up 3 1/4 cents. On the dairy side of things, March Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1904 a hundredweight, that is down 16 cents, and April milk is trading at 1870, down 22 cents. Barrel cheese closed at 180, that was up 1.5 cents. 40-pound block cheese had no change today and closed at 190. And the AA butter closed down 3/4 and closed today at 241.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and comfortable today with high temperatures reaching the mid-20s and tonight sliding to the single digits. Winds become a bit breezy tonight and throughout tomorrow, but they'll warm us up to highs near the freezing mark. Sunday and into early next week, 40s will be the high temperature. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes, there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll look back at the weekend headlines with our friend and contributor Matt Flynn, an attorney and 2-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Oh, for gosh sakes, tell me something good. It's only been 4 weeks. Folks, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And indeed, she will tell us something good. She's my friend and yours, Terry Barr, my colleague here at Civic Media. She joins me every Friday at 3:30 to share with all of you and me what is good, local, and overlooked here in Wisconsin. Welcome back and happy Friday, Terry.
Oh, same to you. I think we found our new theme song. I like that.
100%, because we all need someone to tell us something good.
Nice job by Calvin. Oh, my goodness. I have to start with a very interesting story that is still being developed as we speak. We could call this one, Maggie, the David versus Goliath story. It's really the little guy taking on big business. So here's who I'm talking about. Brett Newsky. He is a Milwaukee-based musician, but he travels the entire world with his band. He does shows everywhere. He's even lived in Saigon for 3 or 4 years. So, you know, he's got the business. He knows what's going on and touring. He loves it. But he has a new album coming out this spring. And this is where things get really interesting. He is choosing not to put it on any of the streaming services. This goes against everything that every musician is doing these days. I had a chance to talk to him about it, and here's what he tells me.
It's an amazing tool. We'll just use that as an example. Obviously, there's tons of streaming services, but that's kind of the overlord. I mean, amazing tool. It's the best thing ever invented, for a lot of listeners would agree. It can be neat for bands if you can kind of crack that top, you know, 0.5% and like kind of be in the mix, be at the top of the algorithm. Then it can gain you some fandom pretty quickly. But for the great, great majority of artists, it kills you. And this is coming from someone who's tried to have faith in the model for a long time. We've put a lot of money into Spotify as far as advertising, hiring promoters, because that's what people tell you. That's kind of the narrative. It's like, you gotta crack the algorithm, you gotta crack Spotify. And you know, you start to do the math and it's like, well, damn, we just released this record, 100,000, 200,000 people listen to it. That's a lot of people. That's a couple giant stadiums. So we're getting a check for $271? Like, we can't even put on a show for that. So it's very abusive. It has been for a long time. I don't have an answer yet, but one little pushback that's a brand new experiment that's 4 days in for our band has worked really nice, just selling it directly to people, physical, vinyl, CD, digital. Once you put a record on streaming, it's virtually useless, in my opinion.
How about that? So I asked him, is this good news? Because obviously you and I like to talk about good news at this time every Friday.
Yes.
And he really thinks so. He said the decision obviously wasn't an easy one. But as the word is getting out there, he is hearing from artists, not just around Wisconsin, but all over the country, asking him what he's doing, why he's doing it. One of his favorite comments, though, is from Brian Ritchie, who is with the Violent Femmes, and of course, they're based in Milwaukee as well. Brian Ritchie says, I like the way he is forcing the world to contend with him right now.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I mean, yeah. As you know, as a media company, we see this in our own little way as well, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And it's this, we all of us that put out content, whether we're musicians or artists or we do political content, right? You're always trying to think about, well, what's the algo? At base, Terry, one of the things that I've always been really concerned about mm-hmm. is that an algorithm that promotes certain content isn't
right.
itself free speech, right? And mm-hmm. so algorithms can be used to manipulate what you're seeing. And mm-hmm. if the actor is one with an agenda or is willing to permit content that comes from an adversarial actor, you know, like Russia, there's so much potential for harm. And so there's this really interesting link in my mind, Terry, to mm-hmm. thinking about, well, is there going to be a return to some of the more conventional means of communicating to get around that? There's this whole young movement amongst young people now, and they happily call themselves Luddites, We don't need to go into the history of the term of Luddites because that's a little poor Ned Ludd. It did not go well for him. But they call themselves Luddites, and they have like flip phones that don't have the internet, and they avoid being on socials. People are boycotting a lot of that stuff. You're seeing more frequent days of basically blackouts. But one of the fun spins on this, you mentioned the violent femmes, Terry. Well, in the realm of Maggie fun facts and lore, I have seen the violent films upwards of 15 times.
Oh, they're fabulous.
They're so much fun. Blister in the Sun. I mean, it was sort of like a generational rite of passage for everyone.
I agree.
And I remember we used to go down and see the femmes at Miller Maritime Days. I am specifically aging myself right now. Miller Maritime Days, before Summerfest had really kind of exploded. And Miller Maritime Days was really cool for two reasons. One is you didn't have to pay to get in. You just walked onto the lakefront. It was down on Milwaukee's lakefront. It was a very loosey-goosey, like, casual festival. And that meant, of course, one of your best friend's older sisters or brothers was probably working a beer tent back in the, you know, 80s, and you might be able to pilfer yourself a beer. I'm not saying that I did any of that, being against the law and all, but, you know, I've been told by people that may have happened. And I probably saw the femmes at Miller Maritime Festival at least 4 or 5 years in a row until they canceled the festival. It was so much fun. I still, whenever I hear one of their songs on the radio, I'm screaming singing my lungs out in my car.
Me too.
Playing carpool karaoke, right? I mean, that is what it's all about.
And they play their song always. I don't think I've been to a Brewers game where they haven't played a Violent Femmes song. And if you have seen the movie, or if you haven't, Just a Bit Outside, the movie about the Brewers.
Oh, of course
in the 80s. They start with the Violent Femmes.
Yes, they did. Of course, I saw that film, A. And B, of course, I went with my dad, obviously, and a whole gaggle of my baseball nerd friends, who, incidentally, are the people that I'm getting together with earlier on Saturday. Watch the spring training game that is kicking off.
Oh, that's so fabulous. I will think of you because I will be doing the same.
I love it, Terry. What else you got for us?
Well, this one is a really fun story, and I just happened upon this, so I had to dig in a little bit. There is a department store, and you know, think old school department stores where you walk on the wooden floors and they creak, and every turn that you take, there's something there for anybody and everybody, no matter what you need, a toothbrush or a pack of nails with a hammer, they've got it. So they are celebrating the 134th year in business, always constant business, and it's still owned by the same family. I just love stories like this. It's called Schrader's Department Store. Schrader's is located in Two Rivers, which is on the lakeshore. It's about an hour and a half north of Milwaukee. And the research, when I was looking into this, I found that it's very rare for a business in Wisconsin to make it past 100 years, let alone still be owned by the same family. So these sisters now, they're the fourth generation, sisters are running it, AJ and her sister Teresa Schrader. They have a couple of the kids. So now we're getting into the fifth generation that work there. And AJ, I did talk with her the other day. She is also a big history buff. So she has written a book both about the store and the history of Two Rivers.
That's so cool.
She gets a minute, if you pop in the store, she's happy to take you on a historic walking tour around Two Rivers.
Listen, Terry, given that Merck's Cheese is from Two Rivers, Wisconsin, that I love me some shopping, and I do love me some Merck's Cheese. So that might merit a trip to Two Rivers. I mean, the good personal service department store is a thing, right? And That's really something special. And here's the other Maggie connection. One of my best friends from college was from Two Rivers. She, in fact, was on the Two Rivers water skiing team, her sister, right? And she went to one of their like alumni shows back when we were in college. And so I schlepped with her to Two Rivers to watch my friend do what I didn't know was physically possible for people to do on water skis. That's one thing as a kid that grew up in Milwaukee. I was like a water skiing team. That's a thing. Yes. And everywhere I go, if I'm in a place in Wisconsin where they've got a skiing team, I'm like, what night do they do their ski shows? Because it's incredible. It is so fabulous.
It? Yeah, yes. I agree. And I love when the smaller towns have this and they do it on the lake or something. It's just so fun to watch and be part of the community.
Absolutely. I've been going to the one that's on Shawano Lake every summer whenever I'm up there staying at my friend's lake cottage. It's like, oh, I think it's on Wednesdays. It's like, oh, make a note. It's Wednesday. It's the ski team night. And, you know, it's hot dogs and hamburgers and like kind of stale tasting popcorn. And it's everybody in town is there.
Yeah, bring your lawn chair.
Bring your lawn chair. It's going to be real hot. And there's going to be very cheesy, family-friendly MC humor during the ski show. Oh, my gosh. And I love it. And each year they have some kind of theme for their ski teams. And if I'm remembering correctly, the Shawano water skiing team has been placing in the national competitions in the top three in a number of categories. And I believe last season they actually hosted, I think, one of like the regional finals,
fun.
You know, at places like Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, with our lakes and all of these amazing communities on lakes. It's one of the reasons that I love camping. I love trying to check out new lake communities that are in these smaller burgs all throughout the state, because there's all just the community sensibilities and the way that people get together is just so much fun. Are you a water skier, Terry?
I am not, but I have been to the Shawano Ski Sharks shows.
You even know that they're the sharks. That's so cool.
My mom actually was a Shawano Ski Shark. So yeah, we were dragged around, and eventually you realize, oh, this is actually really cool.
Very cool. Well, it is a small Wisconsin world, Terry. I love these little random points of connection. So being a city slicker, I have to tell you how I learned how to water ski, because
this is going to be a good story.
Pretty damn funny. I think we were on Devil's Lake, me and my folks, and they let me bring a friend along and rented a cabin for a while. And my dad, who also grew up in the city of Milwaukee, actually doesn't know how to swim. What he did was play sports, right? He's that kind of a city kid. My mom, of course, grew up in the country. Not of course, but she grew up in the country and on a farm and on lakes. And so she's the ice skater, water skier, swimmer, outdoor person. Well, neither one of them at their age when we finally did this were all that interested in renting a boat and watching me try to figure out how to ski. So they had a guy from the place we were at with a boat and the boom with me and my friends. It took me a full day and I finally got up, and then all I did all vacation was go out. By the end of that trip, Terry, I barely could get out of bed because it's like, oh, the muscles that I've never used before. Dear God. But I eventually licked it. In fact, I got up on Shawano Lake last year once for about 30 seconds, which I'll take. It counts.
You did it.
Thank you so much, Terry. It's always so good to see you. Have a fabulous weekend. Folks, you can find Terry here with me every Friday at 3:30 for What's Good Local and Overlooked. When we come back, I'll give you some of my final glimpses of sunshine, a little bit of good news to take you into your weekend. Keep it locked right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY. Going slower.
IZERVAY or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
This is news from the Setter, WRCE.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to this last Friday segment of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Getting some really fun texts on the text line in response to the last segment, which I have every Friday at 3:30 with Civic Media's very own Terry Barr. It's called What's Good, Local, and Overlooked. And today we stumbled into a discussion of a family-owned department store in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, called Traders, which then led me to talk about a ski team in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, which then led to a connection that Terry and I have about the Shawano Sharks, the water skiing team in Shawano, Wisconsin. And we got some great texts on this very topic. Dave from New Berlin saying Lake Arrowhead had a ski team. Charmalot, he thinks they were called. Pamela from Wisconsin Rapids on the text line. Wisconsin Rapids and the Aqua Skiers will host the Wisconsin State Water Skiing Tournament in July. It's been happening since 1967 and every year at Lake Wasicha near Wisconsin Rapids. I'm sorry if I butchered that, Pamela. Listening on WFHR and WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. Appreciate you, Pamela. Larry from Deerfield also chiming in. Hayward's got the lumberjack competition, which he believes is international. And one of his classmates, a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, won the log rolling championship at least once. We went to Black River Falls High School. His name is Billy. Hey, Larry, thank you for that impact. Or that input, I appreciate it. I wanted to leave you all this Friday with a little bit of maybe some glimmers of hope in all of the darkness these 4 weeks in. Let's go through a few reasons. I'm going to thank my sourcing here, Robert Reich, who I subscribe to his newsletter. These are from Robert Reich, and I thought they were appropriate. The first is that there are increasing number of boycotts that we are seeing, that Americans are actually changing their shopping habits in a backlash to a lot of the corporations that have basically bent the knee to Donald Trump, including Amazon. There is a blackout day coming up next week where people pledge to not purchase anything from Amazon, to not post on Instagram, Facebook, X. I will address that more on Monday, so you've got a chance if you want to participate in that sort of boycott. 4 out of 10 Americans have already shifted their spending over the last few months to become more consistent with their moral views, according to some polling. Calls to boycott Tesla in particular are taking some effect. 2024, not a good year for Tesla. Sales declined even further just this past January in California, which is a big market for EVs and Tesla. They sold nearly 12% fewer Teslas in January 2025 than January 2024. Second, international resistance is starting to coalesce. We see Emmanuel Macron, Poland, gathering to talk about the problem that Trump is posing to the Western alliance, those that oppose Nazism, fascism, and authoritarianism. Canada is helping to lead the way. Jean Chrétien, who served as Prime Minister of Canada from 93 to 03, is urging Canada to join with the leaders of Denmark, Panama, and Mexico, as well as with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen to fight back against Trump's threats. Mexico's female president, Claudia Sheinbaum, is also being a stalwart against Trump policies. Independent and alternative media are growing. That's number 3 on Robert Reich's list of 10 things to be positive about. Hey, that's civic media. So do your part. If you're looking for something to do this weekend or in general to make yourself feel a little bit better about all the crazy, tell some friends about civic media. Share the app. Post about civic media on your networks and certainly subscribe to our YouTube channel at Civic Media. Check me out on Blue Sky, Twitter, Insta, Facebook at Maggie Dawn Show, and also my LinkedIn, Maggie or Margaret Dawn, excuse me, formal name on the LinkedIn. Number 4, Elon Musk, not a popular guy in the United States right now, and his popularity is plunging. Pew put a survey out. 54% of Americans dislike Trump compared to 42% with a positive view, and it's getting worse. Musk's Doge, number 5, losing credibility. No big shock there. We did not elect a billionaire overlord to just dismantle the federal government. I'm all for auditing, y'all, but that's not what this is about. Number 6, the federal courts are hitting back. So far, at least 74 lawsuits have been filed by state's attorney general, nonprofits, and unions, and at least 17 judges, including many appointed by Republicans and Trump, have issued orders blocking Trump actions. 7, demonstrations are on the rise. These are more organically grown. They're not the big national demonstrations. And frankly, grassroots movements have more staying power than big flashy demonstrations that are organized on a national level. So keep your eye on that. Stock and bond markets are nervous. You can see that the global economy is very concerned with what Trump is doing, mucking about here. Number 9, Trump is overreaching, pretending to be a king, and abandoning Ukraine for Putin is just not a good look. Most Americans know that is just stupid and not international interests. And number 10, last but not least, the Trump-Vance-Musk shock and awe plan is faltering. Remember, he could be doing all these things through the legitimate legislation, you know, involving Congress, the way we're supposed to make wild, sweeping policy changes, and he's not because he's weak. They're flailing. It is failing. So take heart. That's going to do it for me. You got Dom Salvia up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining the revolution this week, we've got WISDEM's chairman, Ben Wickler. Be sure to tune in.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Following last month's deadly wildfires, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass announced she's fired LA Fire Department Chief Christian Crowley, effective immediately. It follows a review of the case.
The 1,000 firefighters that could have been on duty on the morning the fires broke were instead sent home on Chief Crowley's watch. These actions required her removal.
The mayor says it was the worst natural disaster her city has ever experienced. Bass was also criticized for taking an overseas trip before those fires broke out. Workers at the IRS receiving notices that they're fired, some 6,000 cuts expected. The White House maintains it will not impact the tax filing season. Doctors at Rome's Gemelli Hospital treating Pope Francis for pneumonia says the Pope is not in danger of losing his life, but also says the 88-year-old pontiff is not out of danger. And after a week of storms and record cold temperatures expected to thaw this weekend. This is ABC News.